This amendment legalized domestic propaganda on the American public.
The CIA could manipulate the news in the United States.
It's different for the media. So everything you learn about this, you're learning from us. Because those who speak in power over the television, over the radio, and over the press is constantly telling those who are the masses how free they are.
Yo, what's good, y'all? I'm your host, Sean Chris. Today, we're going to be talking about some shit. I got my homeboy on the other line, man. Can you introduce yourself real quick? Let's see if you're live.
Yeah, bro. My name is Sebastian, a.k.a. I go by Seabass sometimes. Just a big fan of the channel, your podcast, and happy to help contribute to the conversation.
Yes, sir, man. You've been one of the first people. I think you were one of the the first people that was pushing.
Dude, it's crazy. I just stumbled on your YouTube channel right after you made it, and I've kind of been. It just happened to align very closely.
That's all I was gonna say. Yeah, our ideology is pretty close.
Yeah, exactly. So today should be an interesting and a very beneficial conversation.
Most definitely, especially with what's going on now in Wisconsin, that's going to further the divide of the Marxism and communism that they're trying to push on us.
Yep. It was, I think we intentionally wanted to go into this as more of a historical deep dive, and now kind of have to tie it into what's going on.
And you could see it because, like I said, with all the people, denouncing, it's not just about the defund the police. Like, I don't know if you saw any of the Democratic convention, but I don't know if you saw that lady that was like, abolish the police, abolish the prisons. I'm like, what the fuck? You let pedophiles out?
It's like there's a reason they are there. Unfortunately, for-profit industries such as military industrial complex and the prison industrial complex has led to systemic corruption of the whole system.
Oh, most definitely. And I think the thing that people forget too is that a main problem with America is that we have a lot of classism that is very ignored. Nobody wants to talk about the class. That's why they're always talking about either hate against religious groups or minority groups, because they don't want to remind people the fact that we are separated by class.
Precisely. It's I feel like the racism narrative that gets pushed so hard by the mainstream media is to divert the attention away from a class, I don't know, more realistic economic struggle, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, I agree with you, because in that aspect, like look how everything's turning out right now. If we all go, hey, damn, We're all in the same level, money-wise, you know what I mean? But we're fighting over, the guy that makes $1,000 more than us or 10 grand more than us, even though he built his own business, or even people that are millionaires sometimes. I always tell people, I'm like, just because they're a millionaire doesn't mean they're a piece of shit, because, they still earned it. A millionaire is completely different than a billionaire, you know what I mean? And 100 millionaire, and, there's different levels to it. To me, a millionaire means someone that started a small business and actually, became successful, usually.
Yep. Yep, I agree.
And we were talking about the body counts, because a lot of people keep saying about, they act like Marxism and communism is they act like the body counts of people dying from hunger and starvation is the only thing that happens. But with Mao, Mao, everybody always.
I was just doing a little extra research on that.
Awesome, Mao. Break it down.
It's it's there was almost three massive purges of their own population through their communist revolution. They had their initial uprising against the emperors and the dynasty type governments they had in China. Then it came into nationalism, but it didn't go anywhere. It kind of became a military dictatorship. Then World War II happens, and then they're fighting the Japanese as well. Come the end of World War II, goes straight back into a civil war between the nationalists and the communists under Mao. And the communists won. And there was so much bloodshed. It's really unfathomable. I mean, Stalin even had a very ironic quote regarding these massacres. As one death is a tragedy, but 1 million deaths is a statistic.
Yeah. That's how they looked at it as, though. Like, well, even with Mao, like, when he tried to, remember Mao tried to come up with that, he tried to make, like, his own industrial revolution type of thing, and it failed. It failed miserably. Yeah. And that's why he had a push for, and then that's when he did that little swim in the their lake or river, and he got that whole cultural revolution starting. And that's what I think is happening right now. I think we're having a cultural revolution. That's what the cancel culture is to, like, put the boot down on, like, it's let the citizens fight the other citizens. And it's sad because a lot of these people are brainwashed. Like, people in their 20s, not all, but a lot that I won't say just in their 20s, but, like, in their mid-20s right now, like, the tail end of the millennials, they seem to be very brainwashed. Like, the masses of them, not everyone, obviously, but the masses of them seem to be brainwashed and not understanding what's really wrong. Like, they're just like, oh, Trump, that's it. And I'm like, dude, there's a lot more problems in the government than just Donald Trump. It
goes much deeper than the office of president.
And I think that's what people, like, I think everybody just wants to get that quick fix. Like, let's blame the president and then let's move on. But I think there's been this soft coup for years that we didn't know because, you know, we were younger, we were growing up, living life. And I think there's been a soft coup for like 20, 30 years of trying to push for communism, and even probably more since the late 60s and 70s. I think they've been implanting people in our institutions. Like, you're seeing more and more now come to light. Like, that one Chinese spy that was in the CIA for over 20 years. That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was just looking into something like that a couple days ago where it's part of Chinese military and intelligence doctrine for them to use the systems that are in place in the countries they are trying to subvert. So, like, for example, United States, we have a very open and, you know, free market. Well, pretty free market. It's not 100%, obviously.
Yeah, but for sure.
But at the same time, it's open to, you know, some dark characters rolling in and manipulating it for their own devices and purposes. The Chinese have done very well with buying out people in positions of power and getting people in place. And, yeah, they're not ethnic Chinese, but they've bought them out.
Oh, yes, and it's the same deal.
They hide, because I believe this agent that was a double agent for the CCP for 20 years. He was a white guy, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I believe so, but I'm not positive on that. I can't remember the details of that. And sometimes we just see headlines. There's so much dang news out there right now.
Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he wasn't ethnic Chinese
And I agree with you because that's what I was telling people before too. Like, it's not some 007, like it's some regular dude like me and you, and they go, hey, you want $100,000? And because if you already work at the place they want to infiltrate, or you know what I mean, they're going to offer you an amount of money or a amount of power that you're going to be like, oh, all right, or they're going to blackmail you.
Exactly.
Now, what do you think? What is communism to you? Like, what do you see like in communism that makes communism and Marxism that makes you stand against it?
The ideology itself, like, I mean, at one point I was pretty far left as a younger person. Yeah, like,
a lot of us are.
I was kind of learning. Yeah, there's a saying from Winston Churchill. He's like, if you're not a liberal by the age of 20, you have no heart. But if you're not conservative by the age of 30, you have no brain.
Man, thank you, man. I tried to say that the other day, and I just completely destroyed it.
I've actually practiced that one because it's pretty easy to mess that one up.
Yeah. I was like, but, the heart.
It applies in a big way. You change your outlook on life as you age and you experience things and you grow up. Like, for me, I think the biggest threat about communism and the whole Marxist ideology is the suppression and the destruction of freedom of basically just humanity and free will. You can't worship God you want. You have to worship the party or the state. You can't have free speech. You can't, for example, you can't speak out against the Chinese government if you live in China.
Yep.
You will be punished severely.
Yeah.
And it's just the threat of, I mean, every time the communist discussion comes up and there's someone who is interested in that Marxist form of ideology, it's real communism has never been tried.
Well, yes. I'm
sorry, it has been tried many times. And while I believe humans are inherently good, I believe we're also equally easily corruptible.
I think that we're just terrible with power. Because we're either corrupted or we think we know what's best for everybody. You know what I mean? We're like, oh, well, this will work for you. And then we don't allow it to develop itself.
Yep.
For me, what I don't... Because on paper, Marxism seems great. Like, yeah, well, a utopia, we'll all live together. You know, everybody will do what they want. If you want to be an artist or music, it sounds great, right? It sounds like, of course, I want to help people. Like you said, when I'm younger, too, like, you know, you kind of gravitate towards the liberal party and because you're like the liberal side, because you're like, well, I want to help people. I want to lift people up. And you realize later that you can help people more by teaching them something than to give them
something. Exactly. And... also, when you're older, you probably have more to lose in terms of,
exactly.
Like, you might have a family, you might have property, you might have accumulated a little wealth.
Yeah, when you're 18 and you're full of fucking, what do they say, piss and vinegar.
Yeah, exactly.
But my main problem with it is to me, it's the death of the individual. And I don't like that. I believe that then we come a group think in an echo chamber where we just we all repeat the same things and we pretend like the government's not corrupt. And no, I don't like that. I think that we should be individuals. Like, that's why I hate blanket statements or what's it called? Identity politics. It really annoys me because I feel like we are all individuals. Like, me and you are totally different people. You know what I mean? Anybody that's on this chat is totally different from, even if we have similar ideologies or common interests, we're still completely different people, all of us. And then we constantly blanket people into these groups, whether it be race, culture, religion, or even they'll be like, oh, he's a gamer or he's a skater. You know what I mean? We have to we have to have these groups. And I'm like, but every gamer's not the same, right? Yeah, they might. Guess what? They don't even all like the same games.
It's funny because there is a massive, like, subculture within the gaming community. It's like, oh, there's people who are console, people who play on, you know, computer, PC, like, and there's way more to it. And everyone wants to throw out those labels, but at the end of the day, you can't put labels on people because they are individuals. Every person's fingerprint is different.
And that's my point. And that's why I'm against Marxism. I think that, like, there could be, and then when they say that no true Marxism or true communist never been, then I go, well, either has capitalism. This isn't true capitalism. This is crony capitalism. So, like, and they go, oh, that's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. A free market, that's what people, like, that's why I love Peter Schiff. He's like, oh, man, I wish I could just, sometimes I just wish I could steal his, like, words for a little bit. Like, because sometimes he goes off and says things that, and he explains it to me so well. Like, when he talks about the free market sets the wages. And when people say that, go, oh, you don't want them to set the wages because, you know, they're going to set it low so they can make more money. But that's not true. If it was actual free market, they can set it to where they have to be. Because now in a free market, you're trying to make something that's profitable and you want to make something that people want. So you got to make it and be able to make it fast and mass produce it. But then you're in the market for workers because then you have competition. Now, if you don't pay this guy a good amount, guess what? The competition is going to steal him. So the free market forces you to pay a fair wage. But when you restrict people to a wage that they have to, they go, oh, this is the minimum wage. Then it kind of keeps people at that bar as well. I think that causes far more greed, and not even just greed, but people are like, because they're only making 45 cents on each dollar, and then they're getting handcuffed to be like, well, we have to pay each of these employees a certain amount. So if we need 100 employees, I need to be able to pay them. You know what I mean? You have to figure out how you're going to pay them and how you're going to, instead of letting the market set it. Now you're letting the government set it, and they're putting the regulations, and they're making it more difficult for the business. So the business goes, you know what? I tried it here. It's not working. I'm out. And they leave and they go to another country because they closed the market. They're trying to put too much regulations on it, and they're trying to manipulate it to where they're like, constantly people like, okay, you have to have certain tests. Like, you're in California. Anybody in California that has a business knows that there's so many useless, stupid shit. So many checks and people coming out like, oh, you just built this new shed on the back of your, you know what I mean? Like, even in your house.
The bloated bureaucracy.
Yes, there you go. Perfect. That is 100% what it is. And people don't see that. They would like to push everything off. All right, now it's Trump. We always find some scapegoat, but right now it's Trump. And I'm like, look, I'm not a Trump supporter. I don't really care either way. Like, I'm more of an independent. Like, I'm always against the crowd. If everybody's following something, I'm like, I'm not going to that. But what
I'm very tight with you on that. It's like, anything that's trendy is not my thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I'm like, oh, you guys all like this? So I was like, yeah, I'm good, man. But like, I can see what gravitates people towards him, right? Like, I go, okay, I could see that. Like, he's a polar. He's a guy that doesn't give a shit, says what he wants, and he's totally different than any other politician. So what does that tell you? But what I'm saying is he's been here 4 years, and you're saying he fucked up the country. So you're telling me he fucked up the country more than the people that have been there for 50 years?
Yeah. Biden.
Biden, Pelosi, McConnell, Schumer. You know what I mean? Like, the list can go on.
Yeah. Yep.
They all have like 20, 30 plus years. A Feinstein. You know what I mean? Look at Feinstein had a agent too, a Chinese agent as her driver for like 20 years.
I think
too.
Pelosi just came out as having one as well in her staff. It's funny how it's these West Coast liberals that are close to China. It's kind of targeted, I feel. But
no, yeah, too, because China does have a stronghold in the West Coast, especially in Northern, not all of Northern Cali, but you know, like, especially like in the late 80s and 90s, there was a lot of like
the Bay Area in particular.
Yeah, the Bay Area, yeah, for sure.
Silicon Valley now.
Yep.
Obviously, you can see it in their actions.
And I know they have ties with Google. China has ties with Facebook, all of them. They're all making deals with China. That's why they won't come out against China. That's my whole thing is I was like, why won't you guys talk shit on China? Like, okay, we have our problems in America. But how are you going to – they're talking about America right now, the mainstream media and a lot of the politicians. Like, we're the worst country in the world. Like, we're, like, the piece of shit. And I'm like, come on, man. We have problems. We need to fix stuff. But there's no other place you could do the things you do. There's no – that we couldn't do this in China.
It's yeah, exactly. And you know what's crazy is I'm going to keep it as, like, vague as possible just to protect this dude's identity. But
Yeah, please do.
A Chinese expat this weekend – through work, and a really cool guy. He has been in the States for ages. He's got a degree in engineering. And he was just all about talking trash on the CCP. And it's crazy. The biggest thing I took away from that conversation was he told me and my work associate that his father had sent him through a encrypted messaging service $1,000 and said, use this money to speak out against the CCP.
Wow.
Risking his own life, like, to tell his son who's made out of China and out of the underneath the grip of the iron fist of the CCP. And he's like, use that money and raise your voice and fight for us because you have a chance to. And it's just mind-blowing because the media doesn't even pay a single heed to any of this stuff that's going on in China. Like, they'll barely cover it in, like, the end of the news hour.
The only one I've seen actually touch on the Uyghur situation, the concentration camps, was John Oliver and Tucker Carlson. Besides that, I haven't seen anybody really – a little here in BBC.
I think Oliver covered it because I was seeing it on the BBC and, like,
oh, yeah, that's probably why.
Yeah, exactly, because he's seeing that too, so he wants to speak up on it, and it has the most impact here in the States when we actually have a chance to talk about that.
Yeah, and that's a thing that too is they're hiding the fact that they have concentration. I'm like, there is a Holocaust going on right now, right now.
There is. Imagine if we in the 1930s and 40s had been importing 80% of our goods that we import from Nazi Germany.
Yes.
It would have changed the whole complexion of the world and the way that war went. But
oh yeah,
I mean, at the moment, like, they are committing a Holocaust. They have, like, committed several, really, against their own people, not even based on ethnicity, but it's very focused on ethnicity now. I mean, let's have a little rant about East Turkestan, if you will.
It's
airtime, but I mean, you have estimated 3 million Uyghur Muslims that are residing in East Turkestan, which is called Xinjiang province in China, and they are suffering immensely. They are being interned in these quote-unquote re-education centers, which are, in essence, they are concentration camps. They are being forced to consume pork and alcohol, yep, which is against Muslim practices. They're trying to break them from their culture and their heritage. And then when they have the men in these concentration camps, they move in, members of the military or the the localized military they have there. They have a separate part of their military that's based there. And they move them into the household, and they have these guys, I mean, they're abusing the families that they're staying with and really just destroying their whole fabric of reality and society. It's disgusting.
They're literally brainwashing them. And then when they do get out of the camp, when they're like, okay, you made it, now they go put them as slave labor. And people go, well, they're getting paid. They're getting paid like $1 a day. That's still slave labor, man.
Yeah, that is still slave labor. And it's really sad because Americans we're still a consumer-based economy. I mean, look at the profitability of Amazon throughout this whole coronavirus.
Yeah, scandal. Bezos made $13 billion in one day. That tells you how much consumers we are.
Exactly. It's people are buying. People have money to spend. But nobody gives two shits about ethically sourcing where they get their goods from. And that really gets to me a little bit.
Yeah, because we have to. That's what I'm trying to start doing. And don't get me wrong, I've been bad at that too. Like, I started to think, I'm like, how do I get away from the most for me is the lithium batteries, because, like, that's a lot done by slave
iPhone
labor.
User?
Yep. And I was like, shit. It's
okay. Hard. Like, people don't know about it. And it's,
but now that we do. It's now that we do, we have to me, we got to hold our people accountable right now. For one of our House representatives out here in Michigan is Rashid Tlaib, right? I don't like her anyways, but I've been harassing her and I'm probably going to go to her place of employment, and I'm going to keep yelling at her, because I go, why are you silent on this Uyghur issue? Like, you are Muslim. You should be speaking out. You should be like, they are killing my people. I was like, I tell her, they're my people too, because I don't care what religion, whatever. Everybody's my people. You
We're
know what
all
I mean?
Human, bro.
Yeah. But like, I'm like, you're always, she's always going like this, and she says she's for the Muslim people and this and that. And then right now, there's a Holocaust on the Muslim people, and you're just saying nothing, and you're closing your eyes, and you're pretending it's not happening.
Precisely.
And people like that need to get out.
Crazy story I heard about this. The Holocaust of the Muslim Uyghurs is they're using organ harvesting practices against them for halal organ transfer and the halal organ market. So, like, rich Arabs go into China where they get to stay in these hospitals, which have the only sanctioned actual mosques within Chinese territory, because it's just for the marketing purposes of getting these rich donors to come in and get these cheap
transplants,
cheap organs. Yeah. It's disgusting, bro. Disgusting.
So just think about it. Not only are they committing genocide and a new Holocaust, they're promoting slavery and they're promoting human trafficking and organ harvesting. Like, these are crimes on humanity. This is not just some regular, okay, that's their country, they do a little bit different, they have different. No, this is crimes against humanity. And not even to mention about COVID and how they want to say that it didn't come from, I don't know where it came from. I mean, I know where it came from, but I don't know. Like, I believe the gain of function thing was something that's for real. I'm sure if we keep talking about it, we'll get censored.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway from that, and easily provable, is the, I mean, they banned domestic travel within China, but allowed flights out of Wuhan province into exactly. the United States.
That and seems
I
mean, intentional.
It's like a...
Evil tigers.
That is like easy to... I mean, it's only like a 12, 13-hour flight, I think, from Wuhan to San Francisco.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
pretty short. So they were dropping in there a lot of people for, I think it was like 2 or 3 months before Trump actually banned the travel.
Well, yeah, remember because it wasn't until mid-February where WHO was like, oh, it is transmitted from person to person.
Yep. And they were covering that up too. And it's really scary how much the WHO and the UN have been bought out by the CCP.
The real scary part is that it's right in front of people's face and people are still like, yeah, I'm going to listen to the WHO. And I'm like, come on, man, you just saw what they did. And they're buying into it because they're so scared. People are like, nah, they're probably telling the truth. I'm like, and plus how many times they have dropped the ball. Look at Ebola. What was it, 2015 in Africa? They completely dropped the ball and made it spread and they made it worse. Like, you know what I mean? They did not fix the situation. They have a horrible track record through the years. Same thing exactly. with the CDC. The CDC has told us stuff that is, what was that DTT or something like that? That shit to kill mosquitoes? That was supposedly CDC safe.
Oh, I saw your thread on that. That was interesting. I hadn't seen that before.
I had heard it on another thing, and I was like, oh, man, then I saw that. And also, too, they said that it was fine to smoke cigarettes. I mean, I smoke cigarettes still, yeah. but, like, it's not good for you.
No, it's not. It's not. Inhaling smoke in any regard is not good.
Yes.
I say that, and I, like, worked outside all day today, and, I mean, you can barely see beyond a few miles.
Oh, God, yeah. Right? How is it out there? Is it – that's what my – you're in northern?
Yeah, northwest. Okay. And we don't have any fires real close to us, but at the moment, thank God, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But we've made it through this next thunderstorm. The red flag warning it was supposed to end at 5, so – we're happy.
Thank God.
We're safe. Yeah. The thunderstorm that we had before, though, I was working during that as well. And that was like every 5-10 minutes, lightning strike, thunder. It was unreal. Kind of scary thinking about the way there are potential people manipulating weather.
Yeah, like with HAARP and stuff like that. I mean, yeah. even when you go like with Operation Popeye, that was a manipulation of weather in the Vietnam War, where they kind of manipulated the clouds to make it more cloudy and more precipitation.
Yep.
And that was in the 60s, 70s. So obviously the technology has way increased to where they can do much, much more. And a lot of the masses like to pretend like the government's not corrupt. They like to pretend like the intelligence agencies don't have a lot of power. They like to pretend like we don't have incredible technology that we don't even know about. When you tell people, they're like, oh, no way. And I'm like, dude, don't you know their technology?
There's definitely suppressed technology.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because look how long the internet was a thing before it was introduced to the public.
Yep.
They were working on AI in the 50s. You know what I mean? Like, before, like, we're, like... all these things are things that have been in motion, and we're just trying to keep up. And they're always ahead of us. They've always got stuff ahead of us. But now with that's why I keep telling everybody that the internet now is a double-edged sword, because we've adapted to the internet and we learn how to use it and we learn how to twist it on them and use it for our own benefits. Because that really gets us
exactly.
to another place.
Damn.
But, like, I do think that a lot of this right now, and I've been reading a lot of articles, obviously, about it, too, but I believe this whole, that doesn't mean I think that COVID's a hoax, nothing like that, but I know for sure we've seen not only is politics being played, but I think they're using this to try to push in communism, that it's, they're trying to use this as that last, like, haymaker to try to knock out America and be able to have, the CCP somehow either intervene or have the UN intervene. They want to have it so, like, you know, like when you see a civil war in any third world country, that's when they go, all right, let's bring the UN or let's bring US or let's bring coalition forces in to help them. But, like, that's what I feel like they're going to try to do to us. And if that doesn't work, I think we're going into a proxy war with Iran. That's what I think.
It's possible. definitely, I think civil war is on the cards before any foreign wars.
Yes,
Trump's
agree.
Done really well to like tiptoe around while maintaining like a good stance. I feel like a balanced stance. He hasn't gotten us into any new wars. He's been trying to get us out of wars.
Yep.
Like for me, that's enough for me to vote for him.
Yeah, and I can totally understand that because he hasn't started a new war, like you said, and I think they said he's the first president in like 40 years or something that hasn't like started a new war, or maybe it's more.
Exactly,
but
it's crazy. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's something that you would think. Like you said, we're always at war, and not only that, he's actually trying. Then Democrats for how long have been yelling, hey, me too, but like bring the troops home. And then he starts bringing the troops home and they're like, oh my God, can you believe it? He's trying to bring the troops home. I'm like, what the fuck, man? They're like,
the
we
amount
can't.
Of people that flip the script on their anti-war stance is quite disheartening, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you were anti-war, but just because Trump is actually de-escalating our wars, our foreign wars, it's like, oh, all of a sudden, you're pro-war? You're pro-war?
Man, they're pushing Bush. They're pushing W. I'm like...
Oh, they did. Especially around his dad's funeral.
Yep.
The mainstream media did. And that was hard, dude. I had to, like, call out a few people I know personally. And it's like, yo, do you not remember where we're at?
Yep.
Back in the early 2000s? Mm-hmm. Like...
Just
we're
19 years ago.
Yeah, just Jesus. Just thinking about the idea is like there's kids fighting in Afghanistan that were born after the war started.
Yep.
That hurts the heart.
That is, dang. I never even put that, actually, now that you said that, I've never actually put that thought together. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, most definitely.
Dude, we got to bring him home. We got to end that war. And the crazy thing about it is I feel like the biggest reason why we're still there is because our ties to, you know, big pharma and the fact that 80% of the world's opium is produced in Afghanistan. Yep. And that's just such a big corner of the market for pharmaceutical industry and everything.
And just think of how as we went into Afghanistan, how the rise of the opioid epidemic really hit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, people were doing heroin before that, and people were taking pills. But after 9/11, if you think 5 years after 9/11, so many people were doing oxys, and there was so much pills on the streets, opioids. You know what I mean? All over the streets.
It was so connected. It's absolutely connected, the opioid crisis to the... Well, the escalation of the war in Afghanistan, and they had, you know, NATO forces guarding poppy fields.
Yes.
Like, they positioned their military infrastructure in that country to protect the poppy fields.
And then, like you said, and it was the same thing. So they went, it was big pharma, and it was the fossil fuel industry. So they go, okay, we're going to go get big pharma, we're going to go occupy Afghanistan, and then we're going to go occupy Iraq and secure a little bit more oil for ourselves and create pipelines. So, you know what I mean? So we could connect this to that. And the reason that the crazy thing that we do this shit for is because we're like, we got to do it before China does it. We got to do it before Russia does it. That's how they think. Like that game Risk, I don't know if anybody ever played that board game Risk, but like that game is really...
I love it.
What
it's what's happening.
It's been what's been happening. Like empires have never gone away. They just evolved and came these new like forms of it. But now we have the battles of the empires, because it's not only are the globalists trying to take over, but you got the powerhouse China, who's on their 100-year plan, who has risen to power because of us, our consumerism. We built a giant, and we have to defeat it. We have to, because we're contributing to it.
I think the best way, though, is we can't invade China.
No,
that's,
no, no.
That's a suicide plan. I think as long as we contain them and then kind of divert where we're getting our imports from and, yes, like, strengthen their neighbors. And just there's a peaceful, you know, non...
I think we should also...
imperialist way of doing this. And Trump is, yes, pretty much executing that very well.
I'll agree.
And dude, he's On foreign policy, he's killing it. Domestically, it's more of a debate, but dude, it's crazy because the Trump derangement syndrome has been dialed up to 11 the past few months. And it's like Trump's a fascist, Trump is Hitler. It's like Hitler would wipe the floor with Trump.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
In comparison to like actual policy and like actual being
well,
actually.
Well,
being
with one like breath, like you said, they call him Hitler. And then the next breath, they call him a little bitch. Like, so what is it? Is he a little bitch, or is he Hitler? You can't have both. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have, and he doesn't even have that. The only thing that you could say comparison is that if you believe, like, the one thing that is scary to me is, like, some Trumpers and same thing with far-left liberals. If far-left and far-right in general have become cults. They're cultists. They're like, we believe this no matter what. And I'm like, well, when you do that, I don't care who vote. You can vote for whoever you want. But when you're incoherent and you're talking about either side, I'm like, okay, we can't talk. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly. It's like it's always got to be a good debate, open to discussion. And
willing to listen.
Yeah, willing to listen and hear out the other side. But it's like you said, the further left or right you go, the less that's going to happen.
But I will say Trumpers have been a little bit more open-minded lately. The one thing I think that that is going to be unexpected is that I think a lot more people like Trump than people really realize. Like, I know we hear these liberals. I don't think they're as big of a crowd as we think. It's like one of those optical illusions, you know? They have them spread over the country, and then that's why they keep focusing
Twitter
on...
Twitter isn't reality.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes, that's the perfect... Twitter is not reality. And that's what I think that we get sucked. Even me, sometimes I'm like, these motherfuckers. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that's just stupid people on Twitter. Shut up, it's all right. Like, you know what I
mean? Yeah, I feel like basing it off of the people that are actually around you in your community, kind of like their perspective and maybe their voice. Like, listen to them much more than you're listening to
most
people
definitely
on Twitter that you don't know with a blue check mark or whatever. Like.
Oh, man, I try to go after all of those guys. I'd be like, man, fuck you and your stupid blue check mark, man. Like, I was talking shit to this stupid lady, Bradley. I don't know what the fuck her name is. I'll have to remember. She wrote an article for the MSNBC. I was so pissed. I posted it, I think, on Sunday. But, like, she was just talking about, like, oh, you know, these far-right extremists QAnon is throwing these Save Our Children marches and protests. I'm like, bitch, that's so disrespectful. Cause like I said, I have no problem with QAnon, but I'm not a follower. How are you gonna tell me what I am? You know what I mean?
You don't have to be a QAnon person to be against human trafficking.
Yes, and then how are you gonna be mad at someone that's against human trafficking, even if they're a little bit crazy?
Dude, it's coming out though. It's like you're seeing a lot of normalization of that degenerate behavior of pedophilia. It's like with Netflix, the recent thing with Netflix, and then it's all over. Like, it's really, really disturbing. And I think they're throwing it in our face because they're trying to counteract the investigations that Trump's got going on against certain people.
Yes.
Within establishment political parties and positions of power.
Yeah.
Or former positions of power. It's crazy.
Well, that's like why I re-released that song. I released is an old song. I recorded it in 2013. And now I'm like, I re-released it and put a little video to it. And I was like, you know what? I put it on YouTube. So let's see if it gets taken down for hate speech because it says to kill a pedo. And I want to see. And I did it intentionally because I want them to be like, oh, take it down. You're going to tell me. That means you're telling me 100% that you're pro pedo.
Yep.
Like, if you take that down, then you're 100%. Because there's all kinds of people that make songs talking about killing regular people.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, there's songs about killing the president, and there's songs about killing Trump supporters. It's all this shit. It's like, there's so much hate, and it's like, it's crazy, because the voices that get censored are usually nonviolent. Like, their message is nonviolence. It's just sharing information and the truth, and they're getting censored, defamed.
Deplatformed, a smear campaign.
Everything. Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it gets to a point where it's pretty tiresome. But I think the longer we are speaking out and speaking up and trying to have a conversation about everything that's happening, the more apparent it will be to, you know, the mom and pops, the average Joes,
yes,
the people that aren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
It will come into their actual thought.
Because now it's a reality to them too that like this could change them. But also, what I want to do, I've been trying to reach out to Antifa members and BLM members. I want to have discussions with them. I'm like, you know what? I'm tired of having this whole, like, the media tells you what we think and you tell us. No, let's have a discussion. I'm not against you. We're actually with you. Let's talk together, and maybe we can little by little, piece by piece, start making people realize we're on the same team.
I think that's a good idea, honestly. Like, I'd be curious to see if anyone agrees, though. Seems like they're kind of hyper-radicalized against actual dialogue and just...
But maybe they've been talking to the wrong people, though. That's I feel. Exactly. So, like, I feel like if I can get them, I actually would prefer to do it in person so I could meet them and they could see, like, how, like, that I have no ill intentions, that it's just a pure conversation, like, that I want to build off of them. It's not against their movement. I'm not against anything. I want to realize what is going on. Like, they have a lot of valid points, and there's some things I would like them to expand on. Like, I would like to talk to people and be like, look, I know you guys want to defund the police, but in my opinion, this is what you should do. You should go after the war on drugs. You should go after the mandatory minimums. You know what I mean? You should force cops to have to better training as far as not just special tactics and training like that, but, you know, every cop should learn jujitsu. You know, like, when Yang said that, I thought that was incredible. A purple belt in jujitsu for every cop. Because then
I think that's a good idea, honestly. It's like being able to handle yourself without using a weapon is the most important thing to de-escalate any situation,
because you have the confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what a lot of these deaths happen is because of out of fear. You know what I mean? It's like once they feel another man and they're like, this guy picked me up off the ground. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's scary. Like, so now they're like, if he throws me onto the concrete, he could take my gun. So if they can, because in jujitsu, you could be smaller than a bigger guy and you could take him down. And they show you positions how you could take him down.
Yeah. It's all about leverage, body weight, center of mass, everything. I think as well as that is like the way I've seen it personally here in California is like the police are being implemented to deal with, you know, homeless people and mentally ill people on the street. Is like they need more training in that field as well.
Have somebody specifically to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't happen. It's pretty tragic because we're leaning on these guys to do jobs outside of their expertise and their training. And it just leads to bad interactions. And you know, it's crazy. It's like everyone's like, defund the police. We probably should fund them more specifically and better.
No,
like,
I think we should break up the monopolies of police departments. What I think it is we have these big corporations now. LAPD is not no mom and pop. You know what I mean? That's a corporation. That's an Amazon. So it's run differently than that little, you know, the little sheriff's office in up north. You know what I mean? They run totally different. And I think if they break it up into little groups to where they have like sections, like say you have 50 cops that have a 15 block, 30 block radius, whatever it may be, like you would have to figure out what would be like, and have them also not as much enforcing, you know, like rolling a stop sign or speeding, unless the neighbors call, like if you get like a certain petition together or whatever, enough people call in, then you can have a cop chill on your street, and then that guy could pull people over to try to prevent that from happening. You know what I mean? To make his presence felt. Instead of just driving around looking for, because then they go and they go, hey, so what'd you do today? No crimes. What do you mean no crimes? Better go find some crimes. You know what I mean? So they're being forced to try to find something that may not be happening because they're like, well, I don't want it. It's the same thing like at a regular job. If you're at a warehouse and you're like, man, there ain't shit to do, they'd be like, better find something to do. And they treat it like, and you can't treat police force like that. I think it needs to be treated a little bit more like the fire department. You know what I mean? Like where they're like ready to go. They're training. They're at the moment's notice, but they're not driving around looking for fires because it doesn't work like that. And if you're driving around looking for something, you're going to find it.
Yep. I think like ending the way that they kind of, are looking for their quotas in terms of like tickets and getting fees off of people with like traffic violations and stuff like that. That shouldn't be part of policing.
That's what I mean.
It should be
I agree with you.
just going into a little specifics there. But it's wild. The whole, like, I mean, did you see the Seattle police chief resign? Yes. Because called for cuts to her department? That's pretty tragic, especially considering everything that happened mm-hmm. with the whole Chaz incident and that series of unfortunate events.
And the unfortunate people that passed away, unfortunately, for...
a lot of lives were lost in yep. that social experiment. It's very sad.
And then the sad thing that people don't realize is some of the activist groups are pissed that they pushed the chief out, because they go, dude, we had a fucking open... We had someone that would let us communicate to him. Then maybe she couldn't fix everything for us, but we had somebody that we could at least address our problems to, and that we had a way to start solving them. Now you took that away. Now they're going to put a new chief, and they may not get along with that person. They may not get, you know what I mean? They may railroad them. Now you have to start all over. You built a relationship with them, and now you've ruined that.
The new chief could be a total puppet to, yep. like, the whole city council and – the way they've been just demoralizing the police systematically. It's worrying. I'm glad I don't live in Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't wish that upon anyone. But it looks like it's happening in a couple other cities as well, which is yeah. worrying.
My brother had a pretty good idea, though. He said, okay, yeah, look, sure. a way we could get out of debt a little bit and we could solve some of this civil unrest. He's like, we'll tell everybody that doesn't want to be, you know, wants to be part of America and agrees with capitalism, they can move to, like, Idaho, Iowa, Montana. We'll set them up, and then we'll sell Washington and Oregon to Canada, and then we'll use that on our national debt.
Well, that's not the worst call ever. I mean, I know a lot of people in that area.
I know
they probably prefer to be a part of Canada. But I know the people in the cities. I don't really know the people in the country. It seems like the country is a very different environment.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of is reflected in the whole election cycle thing. I have a crazy feeling, though. Like, what's your prediction on the outcome of this upcoming election?
Ooh, I don't know, man. I keep going back and forth because at first I was like, I kept saying, man, if they put Biden in that shit, I was like, it's over. 100-0. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, there's no way.
Dude, who knows what will happen if he gets elected?
But that was before COVID was so crazy. That was before everybody started dropping out. And that was before George Floyd. That was before protests and riots. And then I was like, so then I kept going back and forth. But I think Biden hurt himself by picking Kamala. I don't think they realize how much they hurt him, because I'm seeing people that are like, fuck Trump, but I'm still going to vote for Trump. I swear to God, bro. I swear to God.
It's like people have a different persona from, like, their social media, where they say one thing, but they'll yep. probably vote another way. I'm sure there's quite a few of you out there that are in that camp, whether you see this or not.
And that's all right. And I get it, man. That's okay. That's like
the
my brother.
Majority part, I guess.
Yeah, like my brother, for instance, like, he hates wearing the mask, but he wears it all the time, you know? Like, he just doesn't like to cause trouble. He's one of those people that's like, man, I just don't want to cause trouble, but then if you come to my house, then we got a problem. He's like, right now, I'm just going to... And he knows that I'm the wild one that does whatever. I don't wear a mask anywhere. No one says that. Only one person said something to me, and that was when we were doing our march on Saturday. She's like, hey. She's at a rooftop restaurant.
Where's your mask?
She was like, what are you guys doing down there? And I was like, oh, we're marching because, did you know there's 40 million slaves in the world and it's 2020? And she was like, what? She's like, oh, yeah. Well, good for you guys. But you guys should be wearing masks. And I was like, we're outside. We're all right. And I was like, I take my vitamins.
Exactly. It's like people don't understand what immune system means these days. It's crazy. I've only gotten one time called out for not wearing a mask in person. I usually respect it if it's like a busy grocery store and there's like a lot of seniors there or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I know a few places where I can go, like, pump my gas, grab, like, you know, some water and some drinks or whatever for work and stuff.
Yeah, and I mainly go to the same places.
I can get away with it without wearing a mask. And yeah. It's like, it's cool. They're happy to have the business. That's all they care about.
But you go there regularly, though, right? Before that, right? Was that? Same with my little liquor store.
Relationship. You know, everyone has their personal relationship with their closest liquor store and the employees there. It's interesting how that works.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, my prediction, I guess, for the election is I think Trump is going to win. But I just think that I think there's going to be nonstop bullshit like for a while. I think we're going to have a rough patch for a good 6 to 9 months. I think he's going to barely win. I think they're going to call it that he stole the election because of the mail, you know, the mail in vote, that.
They're putting out all that information to lead into this, obviously. I hope that's not the case. I kind of hope it's more of a landslide scenario, which is my second option.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you on that first one where it's a close race decided by a few votes here and there in swing states. But the second scenario, which I kind of hope it is, just for a little bit of normalcy and like bringing us back from, potential civil war.
Chaos.
Like, if it's a landslide, at least it will. I don't know. It could go two ways with a landslide. It could go like, oh, he totally threw the election, and then it's like, it's time for a civil war.
Yeah,
go straight to it.
But the problem is
the landslide. It's like, oh, the media got it wrong again. which is, I think, the more likely scenario, and I'm hoping for like.
But the way a civil war, I keep telling people this too, because a civil war in America would not be one side versus one side. It will be many, many, many sides. Because there's so many ideology, and once it goes to chaos, it's going to be like people are going to align with groups, and you're going to see like people have their own little militias. It's not going to be like, and they'll try to like, you know, recruit each other and stuff like that, but it's going to be more than just, the left versus the right. That's what people don't understand, because there's so many different ideologies, and there's a lot of us, like me and you and a lot of other people, whether they're conservative or independent or libertarian, that all have a similar mindset of how we think we should go forward, and we are the majority. Not just not the far left or the far right, it's the, all of us that are closest to the middle are the real majority.
Precisely.
And I think that
I feel like that's where the whole silent majority thing comes from, is like people who are like kind of on the fence a little bit, leaning neither way more than one way or the other, but they're just looking for the voice of reason and looking for actual change. And it did come in Trump, because he wasn't part of that establishment. It's like they ran Hillary, who was a part of the Obama administration and part of the Clinton administration. It's like establishment for sure. And then now they're running Biden, another establishment show. Yeah. It's like, if they actually wanted to, I feel like they're kind of throwing the election on purpose.
That's what I just told my friend last night, because I was like, dude, that's what worries me. I was like, because it seems like every time Trump even does something where it kind of puts his foot in his mouth or something, they do something even worse to get him off the hook. It's like they don't want to win. That's what worries me.
And maybe it's like they're trying to throw it so it looks like such a landslide where they can say that it was a total election fraud to trigger it.
Maybe. To get people.
We're speculating at this point. But
I think he's going to get the biggest vote from he's going to get a lot of Democratic votes that are going to turn over. I think there's going to be a lot of Democrats that vote for Trump this time around.
It's funny because I didn't vote for him in 2016. I voted for a third party candidate.
Oh, Gary? Jill. Okay, I voted for Jill, too. Yes, sir.
I mean, I kind of like this. I have a love for the environment. I live in the country. I wasn't conservative until more recently.
But you can be conservative and still care about the environment. That's why I tell people, I go, I hate the Green New Deal.
And there's a lot of conservatives that are like that, especially if you look in the hunting community.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they love it. I mean, it gets twisted. The media tries to spin it one way or the other, but...
That's why I tell people, I hate the Green New Deal, but that's because it's not good for the environment.
Yeah, it's more social engineering than anything else.
Well, it looks like we're coming up on our time. We got about like 5 minutes left, man. You got anywhere that you want to, you got any links or any kind of anything to promote or anything you got a shout out there, man?
I mean, you can follow me. I have my personal Instagram page, far, FARR.Sebastian, SEBAS. IAN, or I have a little YouTube channel. I haven't put any content out yet, but I'm pretty active on there.
I'm looking to put something out. It'd be cool to collab as well, my dude.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about that before, kind of working on a couple things.
I'll post the actual name and the link when you have when the stream finishes.
All right, yeah, and then I'll put it in the link tree.
All right. Cool. I appreciate that. It's been good talking to you, my dude.
Yes, sir, man. Thanks for coming on today, man. And I like, you know, it's always good having a little chop up session of what's going on, man. Thanks for giving perspective, everything, man. You know, so yeah, I'll hit you up, and man, we gotta do this again. You know, maybe in a couple of weeks and see where the election's at.
Absolutely. I mean, we can talk about anything. I like how we were supposed to talk about going to the historical deep dive for communism and all that. We didn't get into that much at all. We could actually do a more dedicated one to that.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
I think would be great.
Beneficial.
I did some good research. So there's quite a few instances that get totally erased from history. There's like, for example, I'll just go into it real quick.
Yeah, go.
The Ukrainian Holodomor, which was the first instance of collectivism within the Soviet Union. They basically just took all the food from the Ukrainians to feed the rest of the workers in the Soviet Union while they industrialized.
Yep.
And it's kind of like similar to what Mao did with the Great Leap Forward in the mid-60s.
Yeah, he pretty much starved the country.
Starvation, cannibalism. Yeah. Ukraine was a breadbasket for Eastern Europe, and they used it to the full extent. But it's crazy.
Oh, yeah, we got it.
We should do a deeper dive into
Yeah,
that.
I was going to say that we should do one of the – that's what I was going to tell you to do, like a audio one where we could do a longer where we don't have to worry about the time limit. That's the only thing that sucks because on the IG Live, you got that hour and you're like, all right, I don't want to pass the time. Like on a audio one, we could just record it and put it up on iTunes and Spotify, you know what I mean? Where we can go – if we go hour and a half, that would be better.
Okay, sounds good, bro.
Yes, sir, man. All right, thanks for hopping on, man. I'll hit you up in a little bit.
All right, take it easy.
All right, man. All right, y'all, I'm about to get out of here. Stay up, man. You know how we do it. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up, man. I'll see y'all later.